goddamn dressing room knows that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. If you don't like it, I'm shit. Not my bones. It's gonna be hard.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episodic adventure. This is Talkamania, and I am your co-host, Dez, here with the Boozer Wade himself, J-Bomb. Say hello, my friend.
Hello, all you nipple suckers.
I thought they were Talkamaniacs, now they're nipple suckers?
Yeah, it's this guy on TikTok that I follow.
TikTok's still a thing, still going strong?
TikTok is the greatest thing ever. And like so there's like different phases of TikTok. There's like the straight OGs that have had it for years. I've had it for, I'd say about a year and a half-ish.
And so it's not new.
Oh, no. No. Oh. TikTok's old.
I thought it was like maybe like 6 months ago kind of thing.
No, it blew up during the pandemic. COVID is the greatest thing that's ever happened to a few things. TikTok, any home delivery food company, anything like that, they're just basking in the glory that is this pandemic.
The pandemic was not a friend to a lot of other people, though. And other companies. No. So many companies. I'm waiting for the damn restaurants to open. I got a $100 gift certificate at this nice restaurant, and I'm like counting down the days. I'm looking at our province. Now they're going into like phase two or phase three, and restaurants are in the next phase, which should be in the next few weeks. And then they're going to allow like social distancing / restaurants with outside terraces and stuff. So yeah, we're getting there. But the thing is, I've had this gift certificate for close to a year. It expires on June 20th.
Where?
Knox Tavern, downtown Montreal. It's actually really good.
I don't know what
place.
That is. Yeah.
They make their own gin. It's good.
I think, I'm pretty sure, they make their own gin, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I would assume that they're going to make an exception, considering what's happened, and extend your gift certificate, wouldn't they not?
I hope so. You know, and also here's the thing, right? I reached out to them, was like, hey, are you guys open? Are you going to be open? There's been no commentary, right? Because they have an active Facebook page. So obviously they're not open. I think there's been a few exceptions for takeout and stuff, but these guys have a really good menu, really good bar as well too, and drinks. But here's the thing. I can't really say, hey, man, you know, are you guys going to be open? Because I got a gift certificate. I want to come over there in this time where you've had absolutely no profit and give you absolutely no profit.
Well, they've already made the profit off of you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll tip well, and we'll spend more as well. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but that doesn't
$100.
Do anything for the business.
Yeah, I know. They're a great business, though, and I do want to go over there and just support them. And it's great food, too. And it's right over the bridge, like right next to my house, right next to my work.
Nice.
So I'd love to go, and hopefully soon. It's the small things that are opening up. And it's so funny because my sister lives in Toronto, and she called me because she's feeling a bit blue. Her daughter is very young. You know, she's like 5, 6. So she's at the age where, you know, she's starting to go to school and she's socializing, has many friends. But all of a sudden, it's swept away. Like, she can't go and see her friends. Her birthday's next month. She can't have a proper birthday party. So when you're a kid, it's really impacting you quite a bit. Though looking back, she can look back and say, you know, here's what I did, you know, and I remember being part of this pandemic. But she's a kid right now. So yeah, all she cares about is birthday parties and friends. And she'll walk down the street and see a good friend of hers, a neighbor, with their kids. And they'll literally be like, she'll be like, hi. And they'll be like, get away from us. Stay over there. Stay to your side.
What?
Social distance. I know. And it's like this commonly for her in Toronto. And, you know, over here, people are, you know, taking precaution. And I think we're all working together to try our best. But at the same time, I've never walked down the street and had somebody be like, stay away from me, devil.
Well, Toronto
is... So I feel bad for her and I feel bad for the kid.
Toronto is the absolute scum of the earth, worst place in Canada, so...
J-Bomb said it, not me. I like Toronto for many reasons.
I like Toronto. I'm just kidding.
I got family there. Their food's really, really good.
Eh.
But I prefer Montreal. I'm biased.
We talked about them extending your gift card. I got the weirdest phone call at work today. So I'm like the first responder, first aid, whatever you want to call it for our business. And we were supposed to have another guy get certified because I expire in April. So I'm expired, right? So she calls me up and she's like, oh, well, you know, we've decided that we're just going to extend it. I'm like, extend it? How do you extend something like that? You spent years of researching how long we we retain the information on saving another human's life. And just because you can't do it, you're like, nah, we'll just extend it. That's fucking crazy.
But on the flip side, did you all of a sudden forget all the knowledge of being a first responder?
It's just so, like, it's like they look like idiots. It's so transparent that
maybe they have so much faith in you. They know that you're going to save all the lives. You will save all the lives.
You know, I wish I knew first aid good enough. I was weeding around my pool yesterday, and I ripped a vine out, and I have about, I would say, a good half inch by 3 or 4 millimeter splinter in my fucking nail. It went between my finger and my nail, dude. I pulled it up. I immediately just clenched my fist, and there was blood coming out, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I didn't want to look at it, so I brought it upstairs, show my wife, and she's just like, oh. She yanked it out, but, like, the tip of it is still in there, and I've tried to cut my nail. I've almost cut half of my own nail off.
It'll push its way out.
Dude.
It'll push its way out.
I don't think it will, but I'm telling you right now, I cut off half of my fingernail. Like, ugh. I've slowly kept doing, like, a millimeter and a millimeter. It's raw. It's for sure going to get infected. I don't think I'm going to lose
my
finger.
It's raw.
I think I'm fucked.
Yeah, I've got splinters before, too, ones that I thought weren't going to come out, and your skin has a natural way of just pushing it out on its own, so... And if not, you know, it's a part of you forever.
It's rancid, dude. I'm pretty sure I have to go to the doctor. I like it's yellow.
We're talking about your staph infection last week, and now you got this going
on?
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on, man. It's like I'm usually, like, not really accident prone or anything like that. And then as soon as COVID happens, where, like, I don't really want to go to a doctor, it's like, let's start fucking with you.
Well, you're old. That's also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could have a consultation on the phone. I've done one with Dr.
What the hell am I going to do? Talk to him about my goddamn splinter, and it's going to come out. It fucking hurts, dude. Like, there's a heartbeat
imagine,
in it still.
Ugh.
It's been like a day and a half. Anyways, I want to apologize to our listeners because we have been lying to you for the last, I don't know, 6 months. You cannot find Talkamania on any podcast platform, and we just realized this. You can find us on Apple, and you can find us on Spreaker. We moved over to Spreaker about, I don't know, I'd say 2 months ago. And, yeah, we're nothing turned over.
J-Bomb did a podcast platform inventory for us.
Yeah.
Basically, are we there? Are we actually there? Right. And it turns out somebody fucked up along the way, and we weren't everywhere we thought we should be. So we're going to be more places now.
You remember when we were on Podomatic? Like, I'm talking like the first few episodes, maybe the first 15, 20 episodes. That is the library that's available on Google Podcasts. And when you click on it, it says file not found because we closed Podomatic. So we literally are non-existent on Google Podcasts, which I think is probably not good for us.
So this is our coming out party, guys.
Yeah. We'll be there in like a week. We'll be everywhere in a week. But, Des, tell our listeners where they can find us.
Sure. You can find us on Twitter @_Talkamania, Instagram, Talkamania, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Talkamaniacs. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, it kicks, hopefully everywhere now. iTunes, not Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're going to be there. Well, if not, just Google us. You'll find us. And 5-star subscribe. It means a lot. Goes a long way. Tell your friends. And while you're surviving this pandemic, might as well be a Talkamaniac.
Yeah. And fullpresscoverage.com. Go check it out. On the Twitter machine is Full Press Radio or FPC_wrestling. If you want to support the show with Patreon, we do have a Patreon account. It's patreon.com/Talkamania. Apart from that, we wrapped up this past weekend Trivia Mania Episode 2. It was a success. It was a good showing. I got absolutely annihilated, and I also lost the game. Chris Rucker is our 2-time champion.
Yeah, boy.
But even if you know that and you haven't heard the episode and you want to play along, see how you can do compared to us. Go check it out. It's in our library. And, yeah, thanks, Des, for hosting that, bro.
Yeah, no problem, you know. I know I take my job way too seriously sometimes, and you guys can kind of see a glimpse of that into the show. But I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to have some good questions out there, and it was a lot of fun. You guys should check it out. Rucker is our 2-time champion. We're going to be looking at doing another Trivia Mania down the line in the future, and possibly be introducing some Trivia Mania bling bling, maybe a championship belt. I don't know. We've been talking about that a little bit, so we'll see where that falls. So no big prize for Rucker, but he is our Trivia Mania champion, and I sent him a care gift package from Canada as well too. So I hope he's enjoying it.
There's his title.
Yeah, I sent him over some Montreal steak spice. I really hope he enjoys that this weekend. And apparently he's really down with the all-dressed chips, man. Every time we send that to somebody in the U.S., it blows their mind. So I'm glad he enjoyed the package, him and his kids. Team Trey all the way.
I think I got drunk and promised Rucker I'd buy him a belt if he won next month. So
is that what happened? Because this is what I'm going off of, right? Yeah. So you basically opened up your mouth and put your foot
in
it? Yeah,
well, I think what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and find a way that, like, we can keep writing people's names who win on it, like little plates added on somehow. So I'm going to look into this. I don't know if it'll be a full-size belt that you can wear or some sort of trophy-esque type thing, but something that we can ship around. And as
well, that's it. Yeah, you hold on to it, and then basically, like, when you do lose it, you ship it out to the next person, and that way it's kind of like you all – it's not all one person all the time, right?
Yeah, and you'd have to get it engraved. See, that's the thing. The person who loses it has to engrave it for the next guy. That's so
we'll figure out a system. Yeah, but either way, man, that just goes to show you, Trevmania is taking off. We already have people who are interested in joining us for the next one. If you guys listen to the show, if you enjoyed it, Trevmania, next one, I mean, again, we're still a month out. A lot of details to come forward, but I don't know. We're going to see what happens. Maybe I'll be back in the hot seat.
You are.
Maybe I'll be.
I'm not doing that.
I'm going to be in the hot seat next time.
Well, I'm not doing that again. A few people said that it should be me against you with somebody else hosting. I think
that would be cool. I think that's actually probably more fair because we're sitting here and like we think we know our shit, but like the first one I got blown out the water, the second one Jay got blown out the water. We're not that smart.
I think we should narrow it down and have it a little bit more focused on a specific theme and try and keep it around an hour and 15. And I think less people is better. I think having one of the two of us, the returning champion, and then one other challenger. That also gives an opportunity for the champion to keep going. It depends, right? This one worked really well because we had the two fact checkers. That's why it worked out really well. So if the dynamic's there, we'll put it in. If there's another podcast and those two hosts want to go against each other, then one of me or you will host and one of us will jump in. And, we'll see how far we can take it.
And so, guys, we will be tweeting out details on that. Keep your eyes open. We'll keep you posted. Also, I'm sure we'll be doing another Poker Mania down the line as well, too. So that was also another thing we kicked off. That was a huge success. So keep an eye open.
If you do want to be part of Trivia Mania, send us a DM. If you suck, fuck you. And if you seem cool, then we'll have you on the show. But you better have a good mic because bad mics hurt. But do we ever call out or not call out, but plug Chaos Theory? He bought one of our T-shirts this week.
Yeah, I think he also picked up one for Boot to the Face too. Yeah. Huge supporter so far, at least. Yeah. So it's been great. We played Poker Mania with him as
Quad
well,
Vibes.
Too. So, yeah. I think he's from Texas, right?
No. Yeah? I know he is.
Yeah.
Is he? I'm bad at that shit. I know he's in the military. I'm from Canada. I'm sorry. I took your money. All right, guys. We got some shit to cover. We fell through over the weekend. It was a busy schedule. We didn't end up doing a Double or Nothing after show. That pay-per-view.
I blame AEW. Show was fucking too long.
Fuck? It was so long, dude. That was a long pay-per-view. But we'll talk about that in a second. We're also going to cover AEW, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. We've got a couple of other things to talk about leading into TakeOver In Your House and Backlash. But we'll be back just after this break, and we'll start discussing some wrestling. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Let's jump right into to our takeaways from Double or Nothing. I don't know about you. I don't know if it was the length of the pay-per-view or I just wasn't in the mood for it when it was happening. I didn't love it. I was comparing it constantly to Double or Nothing from last year, which in my books is one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time. But looking back at the highlights that I saw this week during Dynamite, I think it was a pretty good pay-per-view over. I think it was better than I had felt it was.
There's so many people I see doing that now where it's like they'll go back and watch things and be like, MJF versus Jungle Boy, well, especially, you know, like, it was a lot better the second time around, or this was a lot better. The Stampede match was a lot better the second time around, or and I imagine that being the case. And I used to do that with WWE pay-per-views. I'd watch it the next day over, often with Saudi Arabia shows because I wanted to judge the hell out of those, but I'd try to watch it the next day. But for this one, look, it was an AEW pay-per-view. You know, comparing it to last year's Double or Nothing, that's a tall order because I agree with you. I thought it was an absolutely spectacular pay-per-view last year.
Yeah.
And this one did go a bit too long for me. I mean, I don't know if we got spoiled with the whole Money in the Bank being extra short this year, which I actually kind of prefer. You know, J-Bomb and I were writing down notes. We were super excited to join the post-show. Producer Ian as well, too, was staying up late for us. But in the end, we were like, you know what? Screw this. We'll give you guys a little bit of a bonus this week, and we'll talk about our thoughts on the matter this week. So Double or Nothing, let's talk about some of the takeaways.
Yeah, you nailed it. MJF versus Jungle Boy, I didn't enjoy it until that, like, sit-down powerbomb off the top rope. But then I did, like, you know, watch highlights of the match, and I was like, damn, this is pretty good. And then, you know, with the push that Jungle Boy got this week, winning that Battle Royal, it just ties into this push that he's getting, and it made me like that match more. I don't know how that makes any sense, but it made Jungle Boy more believable against MJF from, you know, half a week earlier.
Well, I think it's a good way to go, too, because he just beat Jungle Boy, right? And I get it. You got to keep pushing MJF to be a credible opponent, and he'll be a future champion, no doubt. He'll be like he'll be an amazing heel champion in AEW if they keep pushing him in the right direction. And they don't have to rush that either. It's going to happen. And Jungle Boy, you know, I wanted him to get this win so it would kind of push him towards, you know, not just being Luchasaurus, not just, Jurassic Express, not just being stuck in this faction. I think that kid's got a bright future ahead of him. I think he's a bit young. He's got a little bit of filling out to do, a little bit more experience, but the potential's definitely there. And now to see him in a matchup against Cody, that's going to be great. I'm really excited to see those two go at it. I don't expect him to win because we know Cody announced this past week he'll be doing the TNT Championship Open Invitationals, stealing basically an idea of John Cena's, but I still like it. I think it's cool for having him going out every week. We'll see a different challenger, a different kind of chemistry. Cody's a wrestler I like to watch, and I like to see how he's going to kind of, I guess, work with different wrestlers for different styles and stuff like that. So while I'm all for it, Cody being, you know, in this TNT / US Open challenge scenario, we had conversations in depth about Cody versus Lance Archer, who was going to be the right person to go over, who should win this match. Well, we ended up seeing Cody eventually picking up the win on Lance Archer. Do you think it was the right direction to go? Does this hurt Lance Archer? Where does he go from here? And then, you know, having Tyson involved, you know, giving him the belt, I guess it made sense. But, you know, I want to know what you thought about it. Was it the right decision in the end, looking back on it?
Yeah, I think putting a title on Cody is always a good idea. Lance Archer will recover from this. It'll be forgotten. Cody losing this would probably stick with him for longer, even though Cody would, you know, get away with losing it as well. I think it just does more for the title. The title came out. There was a lot of people saying that it looked unfinished. Apparently, it is unfinished. I don't know if that's true or if it was an audible. Either way, it's not a nice-looking belt, but who cares? It's a belt. If it evolves, it evolves. If they listen to their fans and they listen to the complaining and they make a change, all the power to them, man. You know, it is a company of the people, so I'm cool with that. The Mike Tyson stuff was pretty bad.
He's always kind of bad, though. He's always, like, lost and kind of, like, even this past week.
I want to talk about Dynamite.
I want to talk about the TNT title here because that was one thing that was heavily discussed was people not liking the look of the title. I'm never a big fan of a red strap. But at the same time, I like a unique looking title. I have no problem with it. I don't think you need to get all exquisite and all this stuff. I was fine with them leaving it as is. Not my favorite belt, but it wasn't terrible. And if they're going to kind of listen to the fans and put more detail into it, you know, cool. I think it's awesome. I just don't buy the it wasn't finished. Because they had the longest time for this tournament to make this title belt. And it's not like, and it didn't even lock down because of COVID. There was a delay on the tournament. And then they're still late on finishing this.
Not possible that there was a delay on the belt because of COVID. COVID doesn't stop people from working on things alone.
What I meant is they had even more time because of COVID, because it got pushed to the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, maybe if they were like, oh, whoever wins this gets to go to a restaurant. Well, the restaurant's not ready because restaurants are closed because of COVID. But, like, yeah. I can make a belt at home. Most of these belt makers do that kind of shit. I honestly think it was an audible. They made a point of saying it during the match. I think Tony Schiavone's like, oh, by the way, guys, that belt is not finished. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Because they were immediately listening to social media.
Yeah,
That's quick to react.
For sure.
I'll give them that.
Yeah. Anyways, Cody goes over Lance Archer. Mike Tyson looked like a joke. He got caught yawning on camera.
That was bad, eh? They quickly went away. Yeah. And then after, he was super excited. They were like, Mike, be excited. Okay. And he was like super overexcited at that point.
Like, I liked what he did on NXT. There was a couple UFC dudes on there that I really like to see. Rashad Ab.
Yeah. You said NXT, but I meant Dynamite.
UFCs. So we had Vitor Belfort, Rashad Evans was there, some other dude. It was just cool to see them. And I think Mike Tyson and Jericho, I like to tie in back to the WWE days. That, you know, 10 years ago, you knocked me out. If we're going to get a Mike Tyson confrontation with Jericho, I'm fucking down for this.
Well, I think it's cool. And then Tyson's, you know, putting him back in the news. He's apparently going to be having another fight, or they're trying to arrange another fight for him in real life. Or outside of wrestling, sorry. But I think the tie-in to Jericho was really, really good for, you know, kind of dating back to when DX was there. And he turned on Jericho, kind of rejoined or kind of re-sided with DX that day, knocked him out. I don't know what Tyson was saying. I don't know if
he was laughing.
He was like, oh, yeah, you cost a title or something. And I'm like, what does he mean? Because what title? There was no title involved in that match or any other match except for the Stone Cold Shawn Michaels one. So, like, I don't know what he's talking about unless I'm completely like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what he means. But it seems like they weren't really letting him talk. They're just kind of like letting him Mike be Mike. But I think it'll work all right. I think with the Inner Circle, I think they can do some fun things. I think a lot of people are bitching and complaining because, look, we got the Cody Rhodes TNT, I call it the US Challenge, the TNT Challenge,
yeah,
which was kind of a WWE concept. Mind you, it's not original. Like, yeah. You know, other people can do that too. And then we have the whole Mike Tyson Jericho brawl, right? Like, you know, they're going back to a WWE angle, almost trying to like do that whole Stone Cold Steve Austin Jericho pushing back and forth feud that they did years ago.
Yeah, the push looked very similar to the push.
Yeah, so they definitely are digging into it. But you got to think about it, guys. Like, the people who put AEW together, like, they're wrestling, they're like, they're fanboys. Like, they grew up watching the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
They grew up watching the WWE. Like, they remembered these things, and they're just trying to, you know, I guess relive a lot of these moments because they were really near and dear to a lot of our hearts. So, like, I know it sounds cheesy, but I think I'm convincing myself as I'm saying this that it's not such a bad thing.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, who doesn't want to see it again anyways? It was good the first time. I enjoyed it the second time. And Jericho probably is going to do it better.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be, I'm totally down. We'll see what happens. But we see a lot of okay, we're talking about WWE stuff, right? So we got Moxley, Moxley versus Brody Lee at Double or Nothing. Good matchup. I thought it was a good
match.
It
was a brutal
match.
Yeah,
it was a brutal match. It was so funny. The only thing I'll say that I was gonna comment on was when he drilled Brody through the rampway with the Dirty Deeds or with the Paradigm Shift.
Yeah.
There was a medic there, and the medic looked like he was half asleep and not even interested at all. Like, you know, somebody goes through there, you jump in and you see how they're doing. And the guy was almost looking at the ref like, now? Do I go now? Do I go now? What do I do? Do we go now? And like, the guy's head's bleeding and he really didn't do anything. But whatever. I mean, you could pick apart any product. But I like the match. And now here's the thing. The Exalted One loses. He goes to sleep. He goes night-night. I like a sleeper finish. I'm always a fan of an old school like sleeper finish. I don't mind. I think people should win by that more often. That way they're more believable when they actually lock them in. But now what happens? Is he going to be damaged, Brody, from this?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think he'll recover pretty quickly.
Because this is his first big match. I feel like it should have ended like in like some kind of like DQ finish or something like that. Or some way that like he kind of doesn't take a loss, but...
Well, I think this is as close as you could do it with it still being a loss, right? He never gave up. He never got pinned. He didn't get knocked out. He just went to sleep. And I think if Brody Lee and Moxley don't continue this feud, I think it's beneficial to Brody Lee not looking weak.
Well, they're not. They're not continuing it.
No, I know.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's okay, though. You know, like, I'm down to see what Brody does from here. You know, he doesn't need to be champion. He doesn't have to win all the time. I think he can play a role, you know, that's, I guess, suited for him. But I'm not surprised because I knew Moxley was going to win. But then when it actually happened, I was kind of like, oh, well, that sucks. But
the thing with Moxley is, okay, so we saw, well, let's start off at the beginning, right? Brian Cage made his AEW debut as being the mystery dude in the Money in the Bank match for AEW, right? More or less.
Yes.
Extremely underwhelming until he got in the ring, and then I was like, oh, this guy's better than I thought. Like, I wasn't expecting him to have that kind of a moveset and to be as agile as he is, because he kind of looks
he's
like...
He's very agile.
It looks like if you threw him in water, this fucker couldn't swim. You know, his arms, like, can't put his arms at his sides. But I was pleasantly surprised with what Brian Cage can offer, but I was extremely disappointed with this match. Like, I know this opened it up. This is the match I was the most excited for, and I think this is what kind of made me turn off from the rest of the pay-per-view, because I was just expecting so much more from it. And I feel like, I don't know, man, they either tried too much stuff, just nothing really seemed to hit.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah, because, well, I had been drinking during the day, so I was a bit sleepy. But yeah, I did fall asleep during this match after Brian Cage came out and did a few things. Apparently, he'd been signed since January, since leaving Impact. He was just dealing with some injuries. I think it's a huge signing. Brian Cage is pretty dope. Like, I don't like these big beefcake muscle heads that can barely move their arms, like you're saying. But I've watched him a bunch in Impact, and he's really good and really agile. So I think you'll be surprised. Like, he is a big guy that literally can do it all. The only thing about him is big muscles mean big tears, right? So he could get injured at any point in time because of that. But I'm down to see what they do with Moxley and Brian Cage. You know, the guy is a beast, and I think he's probably a good acquisition for them. Now, I guess my only question is going to be, is Taz going to be his mouthpiece permanently, which it kind of seems to be the case. And then that goes back to a lot of people going back to the common theme, which is a WWE repeat with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Come, we got to stop doing this, man. I mean, people had mouthpieces before Lesnar and Heyman. I mean, maybe it's saying that Lesnar and Heyman are so good that they're now considered, like, if anybody has one, it's being based off of that. But there's been mouthpieces for people forever, man.
It looks a lot more mirrored. I mean, because you look at the size, and then you look at the size of Taz.
Lesnar, Brian Cage is tiny compared to Brock Lesnar. He's a little short guy, isn't he, Brian Cage?
I don't know. He's not that tall. I thought he was taller.
But I just found it weird that Taz all of a sudden was this bad guy, and we had him in commentary, I think, earlier that night.
And then he was super nice.
Yeah, he was
cutting promos earlier on other stuff. Yeah, and it was super weird. Nice when he wants to be, but then he's a bad guy. So it's like, you know, it's kind of, they haven't really, I don't know, he flips and flops. I don't know. But either way, I'm down to see, you know, we get to see more Taz. I was always disappointed when Taz's career got cut short on WWE programming.
Yeah, they ruined him too.
I thought they did ruin him. I thought he was pretty decent on the commentating
panel
as well.
He was great on commentary though. So
yeah,
it was like
so
a
like I'm down, man. I'm like, I'm not complaining. I'm just throwing out there, this is kind of what people have been saying, right? Because a lot of themes this week of them trying to kind of emulate a lot of WWE recipes. Some of it maybe legit, some of it maybe not, but some of it works. They're taking a lot of the best things, if anything. And if we get to see more Taz, I'm down.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe
he'll lock somebody in Taz mission. Like, who knows, man? It's bonus, you know? And Brian Cage isn't that bad. Give him a chance. I'm sure he'll grow on you.
What did you think of the Stadium Stampede match? I mean, I feel like we kind of saw it the 2 weeks prior, I think, when Guevara actually got hit by the golf thing. And then they kind of had a scrum where the Young Bucks returned the following week. I don't know. I just felt like it's the same thing again. I know a lot of people really enjoyed it. People said, oh, I've watched it 5, 6, 7 times. It was enjoyable, but I didn't think anything was that special. The ending was cool. I'll give it that. Matt Hardy in the pool was cool. I'll give it that as well.
That was cool. But also,
the bar was fun, too.
Santana and Ortiz were both funny as hell, too. Like, I can't swim, man. Like,
yeah.
That was great.
Just stand up, bro.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was great. I liked it. I've enjoyed
it.
I'm not going to sit here and pick it apart and be like, oh, fuck AEW.
No, I'm not saying, you know, that. I'm just saying it was
people
okay.
Who really like AEW are very, very highly, have high opinion of it, saying it's like the best cinematic match they've ever seen.
It wasn't even cinematic, really.
I don't know why they're calling it that, but that's what I've seen multiple people say that. And that, like, it blows the Boneyard match out of the wall. It's not really necessarily the same thing.
They're not in the same room, yeah.
But I thought it was fun. I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it. You know, if they want to make it an annual thing, which they're talking about, cool, whatever. It's something a bit different. But then you have people who are shitting on it. People who are really like, well, I mean, Jim Cornette's opinion doesn't really matter. But,
yeah, it doesn't.
You know, some people are just burying the shit out of it and say they should be ashamed of it. And, you know, some people are questioning Jim Ross's intentions and thoughts on it as well, too, even though he did commentate the match. I thought it was
Jim
fun.
Ross,
it was a nice
like
break. It was a long match, but it was very creative. And I think they managed to do quite a lot with it. Sometimes the audio was off, like when Hangman Page was at the bar, I had no idea what he was saying.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, I don't know. Man, it was fun. I'm not going to complain too much about it.
No, I'm not going to complain about it at all. But it just, I don't know. It was okay. I'll give it that.
It was good, yeah, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to say it was a second coming of something. Like,
yeah, C plus.
It was good. It was good. Entertaining. Look, my match actually of the night.
Me too.
Maybe my match of the night. Maybe that's why you also waited to talk about.
Yes, I did.
Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida.
Yeah.
Wow.
Match of the night.
Good battle, man. Nyla has definitely worked hard to kind of hone her craft. She looked great that night. Hikaru Shida as well too. Like, you thought some fun. And what I liked about this match was, you think some funny business where, like, she throws it through a table, or, you know, she'll lose her footing, or she'll find some way to get the advantage on Nyla Rose. No, she legit took down the giant and wore her down. Mm-hmm. And then when she kicked out at the end, just hit her with another one. And it was very old-fashioned, it was the right way to do it. And I thought they both looked great in this match. And I don't think Nyla's going to be hurt coming out of this. I think she'll be a multiple-time champion. And Hikaru Shida, and they've been really high on her, and I think she's going to be great. She started her reign this week on Dynamite, had a great match. So, you know, it was the women's wrestling, women's division. They are getting there.
They're getting there. 100% match of the night. I mean, I'm sure I'm forgetting other matches that were really good.
MJF and Jungle Boy was pretty solid too. Watching it back,
yeah, I expected it to be pretty good. This one I didn't expect to be as good as it was. What I really liked about it was they were given the time. It wasn't sloppy.
They were given a lot of time.
The spots all made sense. The false finishes were well balanced. I don't remember the last time there was a bunch of false finishes that were believable like that. There was points in that match where I was like, oh, it's over. Oh, it's actually not. Oh, it's over. Oh, it's not. And like, they did it as well. And I think it was it was Marty on Boot to the Face. I might be wrong though. That mentioned during the Moxley Brody Lee match when Moxley gave the paradigm shift to Brody Lee and he kicked out. He didn't like make a big deal about it. He just picked him up and did it again. And Shida kind of did something similar, which was cool in the match. So it was just kind of like, okay, I'm not going to be all dramatic and I'm not going to let the other guy recover. And she just beat the shit out of her at the end to, you know, she didn't steal the win. I like that she didn't steal the win.
No, she didn't steal the win. She earned that win. Yeah. Like, you know, without question. That's also some interesting point you bring up, because often, like, you know, a wrestler will hit their finisher and be like, what? He kicked out. I would just pick him up and do it again. Just pick him up and do it again. That's it. Just pick him up and do it again.
Yeah,
don't go in the corner and be like, what am I going to do next? Just and do it again.
And I feel like the women's division in WWE does that all the time. Somebody kicks out of one of their finishers and it's like, close up on the camera, pull your hair back, scream why to the gods, let them recover, and then just chain wrestle for a bit longer until you could do it again. And like this was so believable. I don't know. I really liked it. To me, it was match of the night. And then we got the rollover with Shida fighting again on AEW Dynamite. Another good match. I thought it was going to be a squash match. It turned out to be a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the night, honestly, was Britt Baker's promo. I thought, and there's a few reasons why. One, I've always been saying that injured wrestlers should still be on TV.
I thought about you when this came on.
Two, she came out in a goddamn wheelchair. And if that didn't make you think about Bret the Hitman Hart, then go fucking die. Okay? That was so fucking exciting. And her ability, she nailed it being a mean girl without being a typical mean girl. She was just good about it. She had Reba with her. She told Shivani to get the fuck out of the way. And she's really starting to get into a groove, and she's a believable badass. Like, you think, like, maybe this girl is actually a bitch.
Yeah, and the thing about her is, like, I saw her and Chelsea Green. They look very similar to me, their look and their style. The fact that they both went heel at the same time.
Britt Baker's better than Chelsea Green, as far as looks go.
They were both trying different things at the same time. And I look back now and I see Chelsea Green and I look at Britt Baker, and Britt Baker has just surpassed, like, took off.
Well, because Chelsea's still cheesy. Britt Baker was cheesy at first. And she's found a way to make it authentic and not go too overboard, I mean.
I just don't like the whole, like, I own this division. This division, like, how? What did you do? What are you talking about? Like, win some matches and then you own the division. Like, I don't know if it's just, I hate the heel or face 101s. I hate the be unique, come up with something. Like, what Breaker's doing right now is good, man. It's more unique. It's more like she's finding her own kind of niche, her own way of doing things. And I don't know. It's been good, man. I really didn't think I'd start getting sold on her, but she's putting the work in. I don't know if Adam Cole's helping her out, giving her some tips. I'm sure she's got lots of producers and people in the back end as well, too, in AEW, lots of talent.
I think she's just good. I think it's just
her.
Yeah,
and that's,
I think she's just getting
comfortable.
Yeah. That's it. I think she's getting more comfortable. You can tell that she's more of a natural heel than she was a face, and she's getting more comfortable with the mic time. And you know what? Sitting down in a wheelchair is probably a little bit easier than standing up. I mean, Bret Hart was so good at sitting in a wheelchair. That's
super
kick.
He also was good at getting super kicked and flipping over the back.
Greatest ever. We did have a debut this week on Dynamite. There was a Private Party and Joey Janela versus Matt Hardy and the Young Bucks. And yeah, the Young Bucks came out with Matt Hardy, and I don't know what version he was, but I'm kind of liking this, and I like that they keep just calling him Broken Matt Hardy no matter which one he is. This is kind of working
for broken.
Me. I know he's broken, and I like it, and it's just he was able to take Broken Matt Hardy and bring it to AEW and not be Broken Matt Hardy from Impact, and I think that's interesting. And I don't know, he's really working for me, but I did know that Young Bucks were going to debut. I got spoiled yesterday. So I did fast forward the match because...
The FTR, you mean? Or Young Bucks?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The FTR debut. I knew it was coming. So I did fast forward through the match because, honestly, I can't stand Private Party. I don't know what it is, man, but it's just like... We saw them live, and I was like, literally, every single one of your matches is the fucking same. And they're... Whatever. I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to get hate for it. They're not that good.
FTR debuts, they made their way to the WWE. You know, some people are saying, again, going back to the theme of them taking WWEs and just, you know, not making their own identity. Look, I think you're going to get some fantastic tag team wrestling out of this. I think the Revival, I'm going to keep calling them Revival, at least for now, they are going to have some amazing match with the Young Bucks. They're going to have some amazing match. Look, FTR versus SCU, I mean, like, there's so many great matchups, and I think their wrestling style fits very well in AEW, and AEW gives their tag teams time, and I think this team, FTR, can put on a fucking fantastic show given the right amount of time. I'm not a huge fan of theirs. I find them very vanilla as a tag team, but that's kind of good. You know, some tag teams are good to be tag teams, and they are that generic tag team, so I'm not shitting on this. I think it could be good for the tag team division in AEW, good for the Revival, and yada, yada, yada. Let's see what happens.
It was a good debut. I mean, the car was cool. They looked pretty cool coming in.
I think it could have been better. I think they could have done, like, a cooler debut. You know, like, you know, maybe in the end where, like, the Inner Circle's like, hey, now we have, like, this wrestler and this wrestler that we added. And all of a sudden, like, the league could be like, oh, yeah? Well, we have our own. They bring in, like, them or something like that. Not, like, running in against, what was it, like, Butcher and the Blade? They ran in on a save from Butcher and the Blade, which we haven't seen in weeks. So I thought, like, their actual debut was a bit squandered. I think they could have done a little bit more with it because they've been teasing the Revival and the Young Bucks for, like, a year or two now. We kind of felt like this was going to happen inevitably. And now that it has, I just felt like having the Butcher and the Blade was like, why, what? Like, why don't we have, like, them come help the Elite after they're being attacked by the Inner Circle or something like that?
Well,
and then all of a sudden...
I think we're getting a pivot.
And then all of a sudden... You know, like, they're helping out the Elite, but then they actually turn their backs because they are great heels and join the Inner Circle. I don't know.
Okay,
I just felt like it could have been better.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The Elite and the Inner Circle, I think, is done. I really do. I think it's somewhat over. They had the payoff, which was the Stadium Stampede. I think they're all going to start getting different storylines.
What about that Blood and Guts match, the War Games?
I don't think we're getting that for a long time, man. I think that was... The Stadium Stampede, I think they want us to forget about that. They're going to use that for another faction versus faction. But we got Jericho moving on to Mike Tyson, would seemingly. We got the Young Bucks moving on to FTR. And I think that AEW learned their lesson with all the debuts they had in their first few months. Like Butcher and the Blade, for example. They popped up and nobody knew who they were. So they were assuming that people were watching Being the Elite. And if you're not watching Being the Elite and FTR shows up, you have no reason, you have no idea why they have beef with the Young Bucks. So I think this was like the beginning of the story. They came in, they're friendly with them, but not too friendly. And now the story is going to be start being told on TV. So I get what you're saying, but that's because we know what the fuck was going on. And I think AEW learned their lesson and they're trying to stay away from assuming fans know more than they know. That's what I think.
I think the matches between the FTR and Young Bucks are going to be fantastic.
I think they... I didn't like the Revival in WWE.
But when they would bust out a good match, man, it would be so good. It's just that on the main roster...
I didn't even like
their NXT matches were good. Their NXT matches were good.
They were always my least favorite in the ring. They were in good matches. But I am a sucker for crossovers, and there's something badass about when they show up. And especially when they're like, what? What are they doing here? I'm like, yeah, it just reminds me of NWO. And that was like a really fun time. So maybe it's the nostalgia in me. But
their music suited them well in the WWE. I wish they could have carried that over. But
either way, I liked it. I'm interested to see where it goes. I think that if there's a tag team that's going to bring out the Young Bucks and get them away from being spot monkeys and let them kind of grow as wrestlers, because Matt Jackson's a lot better than Nick as far as it goes for storytelling in the ring. So maybe they can pull a little bit more out of the two of them combined.
We shall see.
We shall see. Okay, what do you want to do? You want to roll over to NXT or you want to roll over to Raw?
Let's kick off NXT.
All right. Take it away because I didn't watch it.
All right, guys. J-Bomb did not watch it, but for those of you did, NXT this past week, Drake Maverick pulls out a miracle, advances to the final, and somewhat of a controversial finish.
He won the triple threat?
He won the triple threat. Kushida also thought that he had won, so there was a bit of, I guess, a gray area, not knowing who won that match. But in the end, it was given to Drake Maverick, and Kushida actually came over and congratulated him. And Drake said, when I win the title, you will be the first person to get a title shot.
I think it's
so
a great move.
So we'll see Drake Maverick taking on El Phantasm, or whatever his name is, in the finals next week for the Interim Cruiserweight Championship, who will then go on to take on Jordan Devlin.
Drake's
awesome
gotta
for
win
Drake
this.
Maverick. He has to. I don't think the other dude should win at all. The other guy was like a part-time guy coming in for the tournament, as far as I knew.
Yeah, the other guy's also going to get like kidnapped by those masked dudes.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably going to be it. Something going to tie in.
And Drake's
like
going to win by count-out, and he's
count
not
out.
It.
Oh my god, that could be. That could definitely be it.
Then we're going to find out those masked dudes are friends of Drake. Oh my god, if they made it, the AOP, because they're so small, and then when they take off their mask, they're actually AOP. I'd be fucking down for something like that. That'd be silly enough to be good.
Maybe. But I'd like to see that. Now I'm getting behind Drake. I didn't really like think it was going to happen. I was like, they're throwing him a bone. They
gave
him one win.
His release is a fucking work. And I fucking, honestly, when I watched him crying in that video, I fucking called it. I think I called him
the
next episode.
No, it's not a work, man. It's not a work.
It's a work, man. He's going to be the champion.
Yeah, he might. But he took the situation and just ran with it and was like, look, man,
it's
I know you
really
want to get rid of me.
He didn't really win matches.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He was already slated for this tournament, then got released, right? They could have just been like, okay, he's out. Here's a new person in the tournament. But he was like, look, I really love this job. You don't have to pay me or whatever he said. I want to at least be in this tournament. Let me do this tournament. And he took advantage of that time opportunity and really devoted himself to the story.
Has
and
he been that great?
Organically became what it is, I think. And I think, honestly, he probably will stick around. Look. We saw a lot of people who were laid, like Kurt Angle's back this week, right? Like, we have to remember, a lot of people were let go, but they're also, like, furloughed, right? So they could pull them back whenever they want. Well, the talent has the right to go wherever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they might be knocking on these people's door. They could bring Rusev back, as far as, you know, like, we do not know. But Drake Maverick, I think, took advantage of the situation, worked his ass off, and is earning his job back.
Would you be down? I don't feel like he's doing anything special, though. Like, I don't feel like he's gotten himself over. Yeah. I don't see any talk about Drake Maverick, and there's no fans to, like, back it up that he's gotten over. But, I mean...
Well, we all like Santino Marella, right? Like, I feel like he's almost in that Santino Marella category where, like, we don't want him to be the future champion, but he has a special place in our hearts.
Maybe. Either
Drake
way,
Maverick's all right. He's all right. He's been having some good wrestling matches, too, man. You don't normally see him as a wrestler. Like, he's had... Mind you, his opponents have been great. Kushida's phenomenal, but you know he's been putting in the work.
What would be your reaction if in 3 months down the line, Rusev shows up? He's you know Russian again, and so is Lana, and there's no explanation, and she's ravishing again, and they just move on with that storyline. I would be down. I don't know how you would feel about that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything to get him
Rusev
back.
Here,
yeah, I was just gonna say, we just
they asked Aiden English in an interview, and Aiden's like, "Yeah, I texted Rusev recently, and I was like, Rusev, they on the NDC, and Rusev's like, 100%, my brother. The thing is, it's like, you know, you can't necessarily make it Rusev Day. It would have to be like Miro Day or something. And would that work? I mean, I don't know. But I miss those two guys together. Absolutely.
So good. I see in your notes, there's more Gargano defeats a jobber. And then a little bit more confrontation with Keith Lee and Mia Yim. Is that her name?
Yeah, Mia Yim. Yeah. So, like, I find, even though AW will do it, Raw will do it, SmackDown will do it, I find NXT, like, if they're competing directly with AW, they tend to fill out their card with a lot of squash matches or jobber matches. We saw it later on with Tommaso Ciampa and Leon Ruff. I made a joke a couple weeks ago how Leon Ruff has
it
rough.
Who the hell is Leon Ruff?
Leon Ruff is a wrestler who just is always the jobber. He always goes in there, gets absolutely destroyed. Karrion Kross, or whatever his name was, destroyed him as well, too, one week.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know who it is.
He just basically goes in there and makes talent look good by, like, flopping around and getting his ass destroyed, putting in, I guess, his dues. But NXT seems to be loaded with these matches lately, and we had Gargano defeated, I guess, a jobber. Maybe you guys might know him who are super marks, but I don't. It wasn't that great of a memorable match, but Gargano kind of getting his point across. He is a heel now. And we saw Keith Lee and Mia Yim in the household of Candice LeRae Johnny Gargano this week, sitting at their breakfast table, their dinner table, whatever, the table they've been sitting at week after week in these promos. And a pizza comes to the door, and who is at the door? It is Tegan Knox. So somehow she's involved, I guess because she's friends with them. I don't know, eventually down the line, they're going to have a three-way in there. I don't know. But either way, they're fueling fire on this feud between Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Gargano, and Candice LeRae. I'm sure they'll have a mixed match tag at some point, and then probably the U.S. title being, I'm sorry, the North American title being on the line. So this program itself actually could probably go a little bit on its own. So I guess these guys will be paired for a bit to come.
So Shotzi fought Raquel Gonzalez, but you did send me that gif where Shotzi died. That looked pretty painful.
Has anybody heard from her today?
I don't know.
Because, like, that was... Do you see her overshoot that and, like, land right in the back?
Well, they didn't
catch her either.
They could have caught her.
No, she overshot it, but, yeah, at the same time, they didn't catch her very well. So if you guys didn't see it, go check it out. Just
I like
Shotzi Blackheart. You'll see it. She takes a jump off the ropes into the outside, lands on her upper back. It looked really nasty. She had Kyla Ray and Raquel, I think, there as well, too, catching her. But either way, they didn't really catch her. So it looked really nasty.
It looked nasty, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Charlotte Flair, Chelsea Green. Charlotte Flair picks up the pin over Io Shirai, but in classic Charlotte moves, feet on the ropes, baby.
This match was good.
Was it?
I thought it was, I thought it was a really good tag team match. I thought Chelsea Green looked really good in this match. Probably her best showing that I've seen so far. I'm not the shit on her.
Biggest match she's had so far.
Yeah, probably. Maybe Charlotte Flair, too. That's great. And I think a good opponent, a good partner to pair her with, too. I was thinking, who are they going to put Charlotte Flair with? But this made so much sense in the end. And Ripley and Io worked well together for quite some time. Obviously, there was some kind of miscommunication. Charlotte takes advantage, rolls up Io, foot on the ropes, which absolutely sucks seeing Io take the pin. But at the same time, it makes me feel a little bit good inside because I feel like she'll take the pin now to get a pin later.
Yeah, that's
true. So that's fine by me. We're going to be officially heading into a triple threat at NXT TakeOver In Your House. Ripley versus Shirai versus Charlotte Flair. So it's going to be interesting.
I did take a look at the Riddle versus Thatcher match just because Kurt Angle was there. And that cage looked ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to go back and watch the match. Tell me they utilized that catwalk at the top.
They did.
Good.
Oh, yeah. They did. I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was kind of the crisscross or a combination of a cage match with that Lion's Den match that they had with Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock. So it was almost like they were in a pit and they would go up the cage. There was a catwalk along it that they were up at some point in time. They did some unique things with that as well, too. Kurt Angle actually looked pretty good in this match as well. Did a pretty good job as a referee. And Thatcher picking up a huge win on Matt Riddle in this matchup, in this main event. The match was fantastic. I thought it was great. And, you know, the rumor speculating is that Matt Riddle is heading to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Maybe even as soon as this week, or at least a promo playing for his arrival. So plans for Riddle to move up to the main roster is going to be official. My only question is, how's that boy going to pass drug tests? Because I'm sure he likes to smoke the weed.
I'm pretty sure they're going to give him a pass. And would you suspect that he's going to go and feud with Brock Lesnar right off
the bat? Some point, I think it could happen for sure. I mean, like, I think it's great for Riddle. Like, I was watching him on the bump. He was on the bump today, and, like, he's a funny dude, and he's kind of like a goof, right? Like, he's always like, bro, and he's always spacey. But, you know, there's no denying the guy is a hard worker. He's kind of entertaining to some degree. He's in the ring, you know, if you don't like his promo, that's one thing. But I like the guy. I like him. I find him entertaining. And I'm interested to see what they do in the main roster with him. I hope it's just not like Baron Corbin for the next like 2 or 3 months. I hope they don't.
I think they're
going
to give him a decent program right off the bat. I think so. And
AJ Styles on there too as well in SmackDown now. So
yeah, who's AJ feuding with right now? Nobody.
He's in the Intercontinental Championship tournament.
Oh God.
Yeah.
What a terrible spot for him.
He hasn't won that belt yet, though, so that's the only thing that interests me there. No, it does interest me there because it's the only championship belt that AJ Styles has.
Would he be a Grand Slam if he wins that?
Has he won the tag team belts? I don't know.
He probably has. That's crap. Everybody's a fucking Grand Slam. Okay, so we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the crappy, horrible Raw that was this week. Honestly, just fucking brutal, if you ask me. We're going to talk about everything that's going on with Alexa Bliss, with this internet scandal, with JD from New York. So stick with us, and we'll be back right after this. All right, guys, we are back. Let's talk about Raw real quick. Really not much happened here. The big takeaway for me was Apollo Crews won the U.S. title over Andrade.
And good for him.
And good for him for sure. And honestly, man, his mic skills
are getting better.
Like, it's not even that they're getting better. It's just that he seems so genuine that it's hard to dislike what he's doing. And I think that the fact that there's no fans there, it's going over well. Like, some guys that need to have the focus and the quiet and no pandering to the fans, it's working out for them.
I just don't like the too much of a nice guy stuff. Like, that's why he has never really appealed to me, because he's always smiley and like, yeah, good thing, the right thing, positive. That's why I kind of like, I'm the hugest Drew McIntyre fan. I love the guy, but I don't like this nice pandering to the crowd, awesome guy. You know, like, I don't know. So that kind of turns me off. But, man, that guy's putting a lot of hard work, and I'm super happy for him.
Yeah, 100%. We had the Iconics. They're going to challenge Bliss and Cross again.
I like this because we were wondering, like, what's going to happen? Is Billy going to turn on Peyton? And it looks like they actually like did a double turn, and they're both heels now because they kind of, you know, I don't know if there's going to be more dynamics to it.
They were always heels.
If Billy, no, I don't know. They kind of came back. People were cheering them. It was kind of one of those matchups where you
cheering
didn't
them,
know.
Bro? There was nobody there.
Well, I know what you mean.
They didn't seem so heely.
I mean, you could tell by their promos. You can tell by what they're saying, right? If they're what kind of part they're trying to play.
Yeah, and they were going against Bliss and Cross, which also we're never sure if they're heels or faces.
Well, yeah, but I think they've kind of established themselves as faces, and I think people miss the Iconics enough that if you go away for a long time and then you come back, like, you could easily become a face, right? You just got to play the right cards.
Right.
And I think people were like, oh, they're faces, and then Billy kind of showed, like, she's going to turn heel. We're going to break them up. But in the end, it was like they actually both kind of turned. So, like, we're not sure who's going where. But I feel like if we had a live crowd right now, people would be going for the Iconics.
Oh, yeah. For sure, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm down. I like it. And they've been wrestling good matches. And it seems like they're being aggressive now. So if they can release that ruthless aggression, I'm all down. And I'm actually kind of happy that this is where the tag team titles are. I think the Iconics could do a good job at running that tag team division if given the opportunity and can actually be allowed to wrestle actual matches and not be little bitches, because they're not, but they were booked like that in their past tag team a championship run.
So I guess we're getting that at Backlash.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not quite sure, but it looks like that's the direction in which they're moving.
I hope so. Give a little bit more spotlight on those titles. Give it a pay-per-view spot. Really, apart from that, there was some stuff going on with Asuka, Nia, Natty, Charlotte. Too much Charlotte for me. And I love Charlotte.
Dude, there's been so much Charlotte. SmackDown, Raw, NXT.
It's like Becky's gone. You know? They're like,
and Kevin Owens came back, right? The man who defeated the Messiah at WrestleMania. And now he's an afterthought. He's jobbing out to Angel Garza. I get it. You want to put Garza over. Kevin Owens is a good guy to do it.
Clean loss, was it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he jumped KO before the match, so he kind of like knee clipped him. But a knee clip, I mean, you could do those at any point in time. So it was a cop out. And although I do like Garza, a casualty of Kevin Owens being a casualty due to it, I'm not completely a fan of, I guess. And remember, Kevin Owens was bad, booked so poorly. And then he like had that promo where he's like, that's it. I've had it. You said there'd be change. There wasn't going to be change. You know, now I'm here to make sure that there is. And he started this whole shit with the fans. The fans loved it. And then here we are back again where nothing really came out of it. So it's just a bit disappointing because I think KO has a lot of potential. But yeah, just, yeah, kind of goes through a recycling shit phase. And see, it's quite sad to see. But I will say, Asuka, Nia, Natty, Charlotte, my favorite part of Raw. I thought the program, the promo in the beginning was fun. I thought the match itself between Natty, Nia, and Charlotte was great as well, too. I thought it was a very good match. I thought Asuka on commentary was really good because I was worried she would just go too much into it. But she knew when to pull back. She knew when to commentate. Her facial expressions were fantastic. I really enjoyed it. So last week I was shitting on the whole Nia Jax, Kairi Sane thing, and I didn't like it. This week was a bit better, and yeah, it was good. I liked it. I was very, very into this whole program going on.
All right. We got to talk about social media. I got to get your take on this. I don't think we've talked about this yet, even off the air. Alexa Bliss. So I don't even know how it all started, but there's a clip from JD from New York. And if you're not familiar with JD from New York, he's kind of like a shock jock of, you know, wrestling podcasts. Guy's been around for a while. He's got a ton of YouTube followers. But the guy's successful at what he does. Love him or hate him, he's successful at what he does. So apparently the clip is super old. And there's a clip of him talking about Alexa Bliss. And honestly, like, I get it. But if you watch before what he says about her and after what he says about her, it was really like a blip in his show, and somebody pretty much took that clip and put it out as if it was like, you know, JD's making this huge statement that is super important, and it was really a blip in his episode. I'm not going to say what did he say? He said she sucks in bed. Like, who fucking cares, man? Like, and he didn't even use her real name. You know, he was just like, Alexa Bliss is probably, you know, one of those women that just lays there. And, dude,
He's comparing it to her in-ring work, saying that, like, she's not a talent in the ring. She's there for looks.
Yeah, and he compared it to a starfish, you know, in the sack. And so this blew up. Twitter was absolutely disgusting for, you know, 48 hours. WWE superstars were chiming in. Sonya Deville, Braun Strowman. Alexa Bliss, I'll give her credit. She blasted the shit out of him, and I think she's a badass for doing that. But she kind of also brushed it off. Like, you know, people are saying, oh, she's victimizing herself. Look, whoever found the clip and tweeted it out for the clout, like, you got to understand that that dude is really the one who's the biggest dick in all of this, in my opinion. Like, it wasn't that important, and you made it, like, more than it was. Nobody would have heard it if it wasn't for him. And if you watch JD or you watch guys like, you know, the Cronin Show, these guys say ridiculous shit all the time. I say ridiculous shit all the time. Sarah Logan, I think I called her a crocodile fucker.
Kind of makes you worried, eh?
It doesn't really make me worried. Honestly, I don't think so. I think, honestly, if that happened to us, I think it would be the greatest thing that could happen to Talkmania. Because it probably would. Like, let's be honest, okay? We live in a fucking really fragile time. I think Alexa handled it perfectly. I think the piggybacking was a little ridiculous. I think he probably got more bullied than anybody else out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, like, guys, there are so many people that we idolize that say much worse things on much larger scales. And honestly, it was like a joke, man. Chill the fuck out.
It really depends on the person. Some people are more sensitive than others. Like, I don't know this dude. No, didn't know him beforehand.
Oh, you didn't know who he was?
No, I didn't know who he was. So when I see it, I'm like, him being like, she's doing it in the ring. Probably like the same thing in bed. And like, there's so many podcasts people spout that shit. Like, if you could find like everybody who does that, the internet would be flooded and it would be insane. Like, was the comment disrespectful? Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know, man. Like, it's the thing that for me is like, the message is this guy shouldn't be bullying Alexa Bliss, but then everybody responds by bullying him. Everybody responds by bullying him, right?
Look, the word bullying it is so fucking subjective these days. Because listen, if I'm like, Dez, you fucking suck, and then we move on, I'm not bullying you. If I sent you a tweet every day for the rest of your life that you fucking suck and I hate you, now I'm bullying you.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Bliss ultimately has the right of, like, look, if she sees that, she should call down and be like, fuck you, bitch. You know, cool.
She handled it amazing. She's a badass bitch for doing it.
Mind you, somebody's like, look at this guy. He's saying shit about you. Well, yeah. Which is kind of a little bitch thing to do.
That's the bitchiest thing to do ever.
Lance, I don't know. I mean, like, the guy seems like a guy seems a bit trashy to me. Like, it seems like he likes to say shit to push buttons. 100%. But I think that's it. He likes to say things to push buttons, doesn't he?
Yes. 100%. The guy is the shock. Like, he's like a wannabe Howard Stern type guy. Honestly, I'd love to be in his position. Not.
I will say he's not completely wrong with the fact that, like, look, man, look at WrestleMania. Look at that tag team title match. Like, she did shit all, and then she fucking comes in and takes the pin. Like, and I'm not even going to deny her ability, because I've seen her wrestle in the ring, and, like, she can put on some... She actually can wrestle, Alexa Bliss. I think she can. I think she can put on some good matches, but I think the majority of the time, they use in a role that's just, like, you know, it's not... It's more utilizing her looks than her talent.
And what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with... First of all, JD... Dude, you got to relax, okay? WWE is kind of shit. And if you keep watching it and you know, making an income from it, because this is his full-time job, then, you know, you better fucking love WWE, because it's your full-fucking-time job. You complaining about it is yielding you cash, so you want it
death
to continue to suck.
Death threats is crazy. Like, I hear his family's got death threats and stuff. That's
something
else.
It's insanity. You know what? I was thinking about, okay, what would yield that kind of reaction? Let's say this guy dedicated in an hour to finding everybody that Alexa Bliss has ever been with, and made a real, like spent time and researched everybody that she slept with, and had them come on the air and say how bad she was at sex, and explain, you know, went into detail. But now we're talking about, oh, okay, you're stepping over boundaries. The guy literally in passing was like, she probably sucks in bed. Look, it's not sexist. It's not discriminatory. It's not fucking bullying, okay? It's a fucking joke.
Okay, it's not bullying. I find, you know, I can see how somebody can consider it classless or rude or disrespectful.
Sure.
But that's kind of it.
Yeah, for sure. But again, you know.
But each their own. I mean, like, I don't know. Some people get offended more than others. You know? I'm kind of like, I understand. I understand why people made a big deal out of this. I do. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go on social media today because this is...
The reason why I understand that people made a big deal about this is because they like Alexa Bliss and they get offended by somebody talking to somebody else. I think I've talked about it before. They didn't offend you. They didn't attack you. And Alexa Bliss wasn't insulted by it until you told her about it. So you really honestly created a problem that wasn't there.
Right.
So you need to fucking, you know, bury your own fucking self. But really, like, it's getting in a hand, bro. Like, I feel bad for the people that are really bullied in this world, that word is thrown around like it's fucking nothing. You know, some kids go to school every day and the same fucker walks up to him, spits in their face and throws a backpack in their head, you know, and then you have the world going, who cares about those guys? Somebody said Alexa Bliss sucks in bed on a podcast.
It must be so hard for young kids these days. I couldn't even imagine us growing up with social media and not bullying. But
I don't
think
it's as bad as it was when we were kids, because I think now it's not cool
it's
to do that.
Now.
I don't think it's cool to do it anymore, man. Like, I work with some young guys and, like, I say shit and they're like, whoa, dude, like, I can't believe you fucking just said that. And I was like, really? I was like, yeah. So, like, this bitch walked in and I was like, they're like, who are you talking about? I'm like, oh, this, like, chick I know. They're like, did you just call her a bitch? I'm like, oh, God, here we go. You know, like, it's just the way we talk.
I like to think so. I think you're in a new situation. I think there's a lot of people who do like to go out there and be keyboard warriors, so to speak. While we're talking about bowling, I guess one of the hot topics this past weekend was the death of Hana Kimura. And it's interesting. And I think this one kind of pulled me around in a different direction, a bit differently, because, you know, this is a Japanese superstar. And a lot of people are jumping on her and saying, like, you know, this is bullying and the wrestling community is terrible. But there needs to be a little bit of research done. A lot of people are really quick to jump onto these things. And while I completely think that what happened to her was just terrible, and she was being bullied for sure, this had nothing to do with wrestling. Okay. And first of all, the thing that bothers me is you have people with Ripley, or you have people, even The Rock's daughter, and who's like, we wrestlers are people too. Like, this, when is enough enough? Like, they don't do their own research, and they're kind of saying this is about wrestling when it's not about wrestling. First of all, it should, let's not dilute it. This is about people. Like, people shouldn't be treating people this way, okay? It doesn't matter if you're a wrestler or whatever.
Good point, man.
To give you a little bit of a background on Hana Kimura, right? Because I am a big fan and a big watcher of this show called Terrace House. It's a show that's been on for dozens of seasons. I've watched every single season, every single episode with my wife. She's Japanese, so it's been a big part. It's been a big part of kind of our household watching the new seasons that come out. Now, for you, for those of you who don't know what Terrace House is, it is basically a house in Japan somewhere where they have three guys and three girls come in. They introduce them to the house. They mix, they mingle, they go on dates and try to find a relationship with one another. It's a very honest, dumbed down version of Big Brother without the funny games and elimination. You meet a couple. If you work out, you work out. You date. You don't. You move on to the next person. Or you, whatever. It is what it is. You meet people, you socialize, you try to find love, okay? She just happened to be a pro wrestler. So the thing about this show, Terrace House, is the fan base itself has been very toxic. And for years and years, people on that show have been bullied. And it's not just her. You know, little things and stuff like that, too. Like, people will hound people online, telling them they wish they died, telling them that they don't deserve to live. It's really, really petty and really sad because Japan is such a proud culture. But behind the internet and on the keyboard, like, it's completely different, right?
So it's Japanese fans that are...
So it was Japanese fans that were the ones that were telling her to kill herself, that she had no self-worth. It had nothing to... And it wasn't even because she was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. These people that were harassing her weren't even fans of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So to give you a little bit of context, she was one of the girls on the show this season. She came in as a wrestler. I was immediately excited because, like, dude, a girl's coming to the show. Usually they're models or they're whatever. This one's a wrestler. Cool. Instantly started watching some matches of her. She's great. She's got a great big boot. She had a great future ahead of her, which is really, really sad. Very young girl. And I will say, though, she was a very emotional girl. So she would end up, like, liking a guy in the house, kind of obsessing over him. And then when she couldn't take a hint, and then that guy kind of dated somebody else, she would blow up, cause a big scene, and become emotional. Or there was one scene as well, too, where she had her wrestling gear that she wore at, like, a really big event that she cherished. She had left it in the dryer. She went out on a trip to go somewhere, a wrestling match or wherever she went. I don't remember where she had gone to. Another house guest came in, did the wash without knowing her stuff was still in there, and shrunk her wrestling attire. And she absolutely, like, broke down and lost it because this wrestling attire was very, very, very important to her. And the house guest didn't really seem to care. And was kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I don't know what to tell you. And I really feel like her snapping on this had to do with a lot of stuff in the house. Like, she was often very much, like, she got her heart broken a lot. And she got, like, I guess, stressed out a loss in the show. And I think this is kind of a breaking point where a good friend of her ended up shrinking her costume. And she lashed out on him, started lashing out on other house guests. And she could have responded to the situation better. The house guest who shrunk her stuff as well, too, he was a bit of an ass, a bit of a selfish dude. But it was just a heated house argument. That's mm-hmm. all it really was. It's your typical house argument, a Big Brother. Probably tamed down a little bit because it's Japanese and they're trying to be respectful. The scene ends up with her walking over, knocking his hat off, and walking out, right? And that's it. That's it. And people ripped her apart saying, you know, that's not how you treat people. That's disrespectful. You deserve to die. You're too emotional, this stuff. And they ripped her to shreds. And even before this season, there's other people who were on that show who had similar treatments. To the point where this show, Terrace House, has now canceled the season.
Oh, wow.
Because of what happened, and because they have to reassess the bullying that's continuously gone on in the house through the Japanese media, not through wrestling fans, not through the wrestling community. And I guess the thing that frustrated me most was, although how much of a serious thing this was, and it definitely was, she should not have been bullied the way she was. She obviously was an emotional person and easily maybe driven towards a bad outcome. This wasn't a wrestling thing. This mm-hmm. needs to be a person thing. We need to treat people better as humans and be more respectful with one another. Don't blame the wrestling community. So it's dangerous when Ripley and The Rock's daughter goes out and says, wrestlers, protect wrestlers. As humans, we should be protecting all ourselves and be respectful to one another and all that shit. It was just a very sad thing. And to hear the fact, like, she tweeted out the images of her, and they took it off the internet.
Yeah, I saw it.
Of her arm cut open, and it was nasty. And she posted it at early in the morning, or I guess 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning in Japan. So everybody was in bed. Kairi Sane was up, and she was actually the one to reach out to one of her wrestling tag team partners in Stardom and said, go check on her right now. And she went over, and it was too late, unfortunately. So Kairi was actually tied into this a little bit. And I have to imagine that's why she was not on Raw this past week. So sad to see, sad to say, terrible, because the girl had a great career ahead of her. I wish she ignored the hate that she was getting online. You know, maybe a little bit stronger, but at the same time, you know, you never know what people are going through. And Terrace House itself has been a show that they've treated the cast like shit for many years. A lot of harassment, a lot of stalking, a lot of people saying they were going to rape her and stuff too. Like, it was really, really dark, the stuff she was getting. And this had nothing to do with wrestling. So I know it's got a bit dark, a little bit long-winded, but I wanted to give you guys a little bit of...
extremely interesting.
A little bit more context. That's because I have watched Terrace House for the past X amount of years. I've seen every season, every episode. And to be in the middle of the season and actually see the news where J-Ro, Justin Roberge, our fact checker, actually posted it. He was the first person that I saw it from. It gutted me because I actually had been following her and was a fan. So really sad news. And man, like, I know I'm going to sound super cheesy and shit, but like, come on, fuck. Like, no, that it didn't need to happen. It didn't need to happen.
Extremely well said, extremely insightful. I had no idea that was coming. I knew she was on Terrace House, though, because I did see in one of the headlines that she was a participant, so I was going to ask you about that. But
it's crazy. It's because of, like, Japanese societal norms, too. They're like, you know, like, oh, you're not doing this societal norm. You're not being a woman. You should be treating a man with more respect. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's just like, honestly, if you guys watched it, you'd be blown away that this is the incident which kind of caused people to start harassing her. You know, and it was a number of things. Like, she really liked this guy and was really heavy and, like, really being forceful towards him, the one to, like, date him and stuff. And she kept not getting the message that she wasn't interested, and then kept walking in and seeing her heart getting broken because he actually was into somebody else. Mm-hmm. But she should have taken a hint earlier on. But she's a very emotional girl who wore her heart on her sleeve, and she seemed like a very sweet person. But she went through a lot of shitty stuff throughout this season. And, you know, everybody's along for the ride. And even the hosts, too. Like, there's a host of the shows that, like, every other scene, they'll kind of go back to the host and they'll talk about what happened recently. And they're kind of, like, not poking fun at her, but kind of, like, I'm sure it wasn't helpful for her to
actually watch back and see it.
Yeah, for her to watch. I'm sure because the show got postponed during COVID. And I'm sure she watched back everything and was like, this is super embarrassing. I shouldn't have done that. And then, people on social media shitting on her. None of them even knowing or caring she's a wrestler. It was nothing to do with that. It was just about her demeanor and the way she conducted herself on the show. So just, you know, let the facts fall down where they are. And I know there's still people out there that are still saying this is because of the wrestling community. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. But, you know, as people, we got to be better.
Absolutely. But, I mean, this kind of ties into what I was saying. You know, the thing with Alexa Bliss, you know, I think a lot of people were jumping on the bandwagon because the news of Kimura coming, you know, so recently that it was just kind of like a, I don't know if everybody was still emotional from that news that this kind of took a turn the way that it did, but you can't compare the two. And that's why the word bullying being thrown out, a comment, it's not like the whole, it's not like a bunch of people, you know, that listen to JD were all over and being like, oh yeah, 100%. And for months they were just attacking Bliss at being shitty in bed. You know what I mean? It was just like, it's so different. You can't compare the two. That's why I hate to see the term bullying thrown out there like that, because, you know, there's racist stuff too that happens. And people are like, oh, somebody said something once and it was a bad joke. It was an ignorant joke. And they're like, that's so racist. You know, think about all the people you're affecting. Yeah, I understand that. But there's other people that are facing racism on a day-to-day basis that's so much more. It's just to another level, and I feel like you're dumbing down that word by using
it
too much.
Also it. You're hitting on racism, too. It's like, it's little things like that. Like, she was getting shit on because she's Japanese, but I think she's also was, I can't remember her other, she was Japanese slash a small part this. I don't remember what it was. If it was Indonesian, I think. And Japanese people were shitting on her because saying she's not a true, authentic Japanese person. She's, you know, a slut, or she's Indonesian and she should die. Like, it was
Jesus.
It's as respectful in your face as Japan can be. And I'm not shitting on, I love Japanese culture, clearly, right? I mean, if anybody who knows me here. But it's so crazy to see some of the comments and some of the things. And after this happened, I kind of went through with my wife and was just kind of like diving a little bit more in depth with the people who were actually writing these comments and saying things and had nothing to do with wrestling. And it was really, really petty stuff that was totally unnecessary. And I mean, if you look at some of her highlights, dude, woman, she has such a great future ahead of her. Mm. She definitely could have made her way into America. You know, she's touched a lot of wrestlers' lives. A lot of people knew her. Yeah, so you know, it's truly unfortunate, I guess.
It's the world is I could make jokes a million times over. I could tease people. I've never ever had the urge to ever tell someone to kill themselves. I don't understand how, even if you're behind a keyboard, in any sense, what mind frame are you in to tell somebody to kill themselves, even as a joke? Like, oh my God, you're pathetic. Go kill yourself. It's crazy. It blows my mind, and I'm a pretty foul person. I'll be the first to admit it. I say dumb shit all the time, but to go that far is just, it's insane. That was extremely, I hope more people hear that, because I think that's, I might even clip that and put it on Twitter, because
I didn't
really
mean
important.
To bring down the mood or anything.
I don't think
but,
it brought
you know.
Down the mood, man. I think that was extremely insightful, and I think that was some of the best shit that we've ever recorded. I'm not going to lie. No, I think it was really important.
I think it's just like, you
up.
Know, like, it's coincidentally, you know, I do watch Terrace House, and I have been watching it, and like, for this to happen, like, in the middle of watching the show, while learning who she is, her character, and then like learning more about that, it had to do with it. And you saw wrestlers starting to pick it up too, you know, like a lot of, some of the wrestlers were doing their own research and kind of saying this shouldn't happen because of a reality TV show.
Yeah.
So as time went on, I guess some facts came out, but I don't know. I didn't like wrestlers making it about wrestlers. And
yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's wrong for me to say that, because I think we also need to be respectful to wrestlers, because a lot of them do get shit and hate for sure, 100%. But I don't think it matters if you're a wrestler, if you're a milkman, if you are whoever the fuck you are, like, we're all human beings. We all have feelings. And at the same time, we should all be respectful to one another, you know, within a degree, you know, as long as someone's showing you respect. But I don't know. I just, it's really shitty, man. It hit hard this weekend, that specifically for me.
Like, I understand that, you know, they always say like, hey, if you're a celebrity and you're in the public eye, get ready for a bunch of people to not like you. And I think that has some merit to it. But I always have a soft spot for people that are reality stars or, you know, social media or YouTubers or stuff like that, where they've kind of found celebrity by accident in a bit, in a sense. And, you know, this is a really good example of it. They didn't, you know, they're not reaping the same benefits that the rest of, you know, Hollywood has. Things are going to hit them a little bit harder. They didn't work their entire lives to make it. You know, to make it in the Hollywood business, you probably already have thick skin, so you could probably take a lot more criticism. And it's not, I'm not making an excuse that you can make fun of celebrities because they're rich. I just mean that, like, especially reality stars and, you know, wrestlers too, fucking lighten up, people. You know?
I have to imagine two wrestlers, like, you know, like, let's take Nia Jax, for instance, right? Like, you know, I won't say, like, she got her tendencies to be a bit reckless or not know her own strength, I guess, is what I would say. But the amount of hate she gets on the internet is, like, ridiculous if you look at any of her comments and stuff. And, yeah, she knows that people think she's reckless. Like, she plays off of it, right? But also at the same time, like, these people are so big. Nia Jax probably gets, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of messages a day. She's not sitting there, and she's not watching Twitter at every single message. But when you have someone like Hana Kimura, who may be, like, you know, on the indie scene, she's getting messages, but she probably takes more time to read all
these,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
That's it. So, like, just be a little bit mindful, I guess, at the very least. Good and work. I also will go on the flip side with Ripley, you know, say, like, the wrestlers do put up with a lot of bullshit. They do put up with a lot of hate. And I think it just, you know, it doesn't expand just within wrestling. I think as in general, as people, it just...
I don't think we'll ever stop the crazies. But I think that, you know, things like this, you know, especially knowing the backstory. Like what you just explained, it's got to open your eyes. I mean, yeah, the mood has changed on the podcast, but I think it is a good way to end off. It's probably the most, I don't know what the word is, but what's the word? Not educational.
Prolific?
I don't know. Insightful? I don't know. We did something. I felt like we created something there, Des. I appreciate that very, very much. I don't really know how to transition out of this episode after talking about that, but we do have some stuff coming up. In Your House Takeover is coming up. I think it's June 7th, and we got Backlash June 14th. You know we're going to be doing some bonus episodes. You know we're going to be getting into it with all y'all. We're not live this week, but we will be back live next week. And, yeah. I like that. I'm going to go read
another
more
one
about
at Talkamania.
Is Terrace House still on Netflix or is it off?
It's great, man. I don't know if you'd have the patience to watch it.
I've watched the one that was in Hawaii because I knew it was in Hawaii.
That
and
was good. People
stuff.
Like that. Yeah. But it's a very like it's a very quiet, slow paced show where it's like it takes time to develop relationships and it's very like it's a patient man's game. But if you can be patient and watch a series, it's great. I just know you and might not.
I enjoyed it.
Enough.
Hey, if it's nice locations and the women are good looking, I'm going to watch it.
Well, it might be worth watching this season. I mean, those of you who might not be so familiar with her, check it out. Either way, Terrace House is a great watch. It's a great show. And, you know, if we can take anything coming out of this past week with the loss of Shad Gaspard, Owen Hart, the anniversary of his death, you know, Hanakamura's passing, just be nice to one another. That's all, guys. That's all, guys.
We didn't have time. We got so deep into it. Guys, go listen to Boot to the Face. You know where they're at. They usually have a commercial on our episode. We ran out of time. We couldn't play it. We're sorry, dudes, but we just got so damn into that. You guys know where to find us on Twitter, wherever. We will be everywhere soon, I promise. We're working on it. But basically, have a good week. We'll be back with you next week live. On behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Happy Rusev Day. Mascara.